There have been some questions of whether to support this. If the language is kept in relating to the dog securely confined in the back of a vehicle, or dog in a vehicle. And then the other concern had to do with implementation and identification by microchip, these two areas. So Teresa, would you like to come up and tell us kind of what you did, Teresa? I think you went around and talked to the members, and you put together then the dash twos.
The dash twos.
I had told Teresa that we wouldn't move ahead on the bill. Teresa's with the Humane Society. We wouldn't move ahead on the bill unless we talked to the members. We could get the votes and address the concerns. And I think out of that, then, we have then what the dash twos.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Teresa Miller with the Humane Society. That's exactly correct. And basically what we did, listening to concerns of a couple of the members, there were concerns about the microchipping and also concerns about tethering the dog. So we went ahead and just removed those, hopefully, so the bill would move forward a little bit easier.
And you assured me I had the votes then. Was that the understanding?
Yes.
So now we have then in front of us then the dash twos. And these dash twos amend the dash one. So you have to follow the dash, your dash one to follow the page numbers. And in there then we delete lines 15 and 16 on page two. Of the dash one, and then we delete on page five, we delete implementation and identification microchip on line five and also on line 12 of page five. And then on line 13, the sterilization procedure shall be at the expense of. So we've basically eliminated those two areas. So with that, if I had committee people here, we would we have a debate, any discussion of the we're in work session. Everybody happy?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Crummell.
I'm not willing to go to the mat over it, but I still think that in the dash ones, line 24 on the first page, where it says in line 24, and is not required to treat any factor listed in subsection 1, I still like 1 in there, so it would read is not required to treat any one factor listed in subsection 1 of the section as controller. I think it delineates it out a little bit better. It makes it a little clearer.
What does the word one in there really do? I guess that eludes me just a little bit.
Well, I think what it does is that it shows that there's not necessarily a priority in the list above, and it's not going to and that any one factor isn't the only factor. It's not, but it's also there's not a priority necessarily of the list above. But like I said,
let's see if we can move this bill today without.
But I'm not willing to go to the mat over it.
I was going to go to the mat.
I don't know where Representative Thompson is.
I have enough of a quorum yet.
We don't have a quorum.
You got the votes, Teresa, but no quorum.
One, two, three.
We've got at least another member coming down the hall.
In the meantime, Judge Bradford, welcome back. Would you have anything to add? We're just kind of in work session, invited testimony here. If you have anything, jump right in. As soon as we get some members in here, we're gonna move this bill out of here.
Keep my mouth shut until we get enough people that.
Teresa, do we have enough votes here to move this bill today?
I think Representative Rubelauer is coming down.
Would you like to add anything before we go for a vote, Judge Bradford?
Please.
Okay.
Should I wait till?
No, right now. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee,
this thing.
I'm Tom Branford here in support of House Bill 2425. I have some comments from what I've seen in the proposed text. Frankly, I think Representative Kremel makes a good point on the insertion of the word one. There are a couple things, frankly, that concern me in the text. And the one I'm looking at is, I'm not sure what you call it, but it's pasted and patched together, so it would be the whole thing as it would read with all the...
You have the dash ones? Oh, you're looking at the whole bill.
Yeah, this is...
Gross. The hand is gross. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and the ones that concern me, frankly, are on page 2, section 4, where the definition of dog running at large does not include a dog that is within any part of the vehicle. I think it'd be preferable to have the law remain neutral instead of creating an exemption. And again, I use the example that if an owner, I've never seen a ticket yet for a dog at large, for a dog in the back of the vehicle, but I'm simply think that technically the person is not in control of the animal if it's unconfined in the back of a vehicle and sitting in a parking lot for a couple hours. And so I hesitate to effectively create an exemption for that. I think it'd be preferable to have the law remain neutral and not say anything about that, because it doesn't say anything now, and I've never seen any tickets for it. But
well, if we take that language out, then
I'd say just take it out.
It's not saying anything at all.
Not saying at all.
I think in order to get the votes on this bill, we're going to have to leave that part out concerning that tying that dog in the picket.
Oh, right. No, I'm saying take it out, but I'm saying if you leave out the new language that says it's not running a large, if it is a dog, it's within any part of the vehicle. I think you're better off not to have it at all.
I think that's what we did. Wasn't it to take that language clear out?
Well, this is the opposite of what we had proposed last time. Last time we said it's got to be securely confined. This is the opposite. This is saying if it's in a vehicle, it's not running at large. And that's just, and I think it'd be preferable to say nothing.
Isn't that existing language, Mr. Chair?
I'm a little bit confused here.
Mr. Chair, the existing statute makes no reference to that.
We have the old original bill, the
section 3, Mr. Chair, or 4?
Because
I really don't know.
And so you don't have to worry, it's not running in large if it's in the back of your truck.
6, 9, 10.
Huh? Safety door. See, they added C down there.
That is new language. I thought that was back to the original language.
Okay, that's... That's section 2 that's all been amended here, isn't it?
Yes,
Section 2 in the original bill. We have the definition of livestock, means ratites. It'd be section 2, sub 2. As used in that, running at large means a dog. If off or outside the premises, occupied by the dog, or is not in the company or the control of its keeper. And then we added, running at large does not include. So that's all new language then. So what we're doing, if we take out line 15 and 16 there, or 13, whatever that line is.
14? Or 13?
Mr. Chair, we're basically saying that we're just not addressing the issue of a dog in the back of a vehicle.
Right.
And I think that was kind of the consensus of the committee. They didn't want to get into that.
So that'd be my suggestion on that, is just delete, it looks like line 13G on the hand engrossed.
We've just taken out a dog in a vehicle securely confined. Is not considered riding at large, but we're not addressing the issue, as I would say.
That's my suggestion.
Yeah.
I have two others that concern me greatly. One is on, let's see, I can't see the page number. It's
on the hand engrossed?
Yeah, it's
1, 2, 3.
Section 7.
That would be about page 5.
Roughly. Section 7 defines a dog as a public nuisance.
Mm-hmm. This is ORS 609-092.
095. Right below that.
Right.
Oh, that'd be section 8.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me, section 8. I'm
yeah, a dog is a public nuisance.
There's an unintentional striking there. The trespass and disturbs any person are unintentional strikes.
Okay, good. That was my...
Sorry, that was... That
subsection F is the one I see terribly often, yeah, of the dog that barks, yeah, 3 hours off.
There's a set comment there, because that was just notes I was making to myself in the last hearing, and members ultimately did not do anything.
Okay.
It stays.
Then my only other comment, and this is, I hope this isn't the proverbial monkey wrench, but just a thought that I had. I'm grateful that the court can impose reasonable restrictions on the keeping of the dog, that it's then a violation. It's a new public nuisance if the owner doesn't comply with the restrictions that are imposed. But I'm wondering, the reasonable restrictions are imposed in the case where the court decides not to euthanize the dog. And so what if a person just says, to hell with you, I'm not doing it, then essentially no saying, and I'm wondering if upon proof of noncompliance with those restrictions that the court could then order euthanasia. In other words, you give the owner a chance to make it right, but if the owner doesn't do it, and there's a new ticket that proves that the dog is a public nuisance again because the owner did not comply with the reasonable restrictions, the court could then revisit the issue of euthanizing the dog.
This is a new issue you had.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't even.
Bring that one out of.
I have a question.
Leave it alone. All right, leave it alone.
Because this is confusing to me. The hand engrossed bill I have goes beyond the dash ones. So I want to know where. I assume Harrison Hammond grossed it, but where did the additions or deletions come from? Since the last amendment we had was
the dash one. The dash one, Mr. Chair, Representative Orbaugh, the dash one was adopted, and that is in the House, the hand engrosser. The dash two deletes a couple of items in the dash one, and that too is in this.
And where is the dash two?
It is also hand engrossed into this document.
It's attached to.
It's attached to the
what?
Measure summary.
Okay.
It's probably the last page in that set. The dash two amends the dash one.
The dash two is delete the part concerning tethered in the back of the pickup. And deletes the implementation of identification microchip.
That seems to be pre-constructed. But the thing that the dash twos also do is that they have added in language about a dog that is within the back of a vehicle, and that sounds like that's now.
Oh, a dog that is within any part of a vehicle.
That's to get rid of Representative Byers' concern about a dog in the back of a pickup, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair? We're inserting those, the delete lines, and insert, what is that language? A dog that's within any part of a vehicle.
Mr. Chair, that's the language I believe that the judge was just asking that we not.
Oh, I didn't realize we were putting that back in there.
I thought that was the original language of the bill when I read of the current statute, but it is not.
So basically that's saying that a dog is running at large if it's within.
The dog is not running at large.
It's within any part of a vehicle.
Right.
That's what this bill, that's what this dash two amendment would say.
Mm-hmm.
And by deleting line four in the dash two before adopting it, you would be not speaking to a dog in a vehicle.
I have another question.
Representative Obolo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, to the proponents of this, I know you've deleted the ID microchip, and I was one of the persons that had problems with that. However, after our last hearing, I talked to different people about the microchip, and I don't know that I have a problem with it anymore. I don't know if anybody else did, but it seemed to be a way of tracking the animal, which otherwise you couldn't track, or be able to say, this is the dog that did this a week ago, unless you could identify him, and dogs look the same sometimes. So I know that's what the hand engrossed has that change, taking the microchip out, but I would be willing to consider leaving it in with deferring to the rest of the panel.
Point of clarification.
Yeah.
Representative Hill also had a problem with the microchip, but since he's not here with both words.
Also had a problem.
Representative Uberlot, we took the issues of the problem, and Teresa went around and polled the members, and
okay.
Then she went out and put the dash two together in order to get it. So if we start muddling this around, this thing is going to run into more problems.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kropp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Judge, I just have a quick question for you. In the dash one or dash twos, section three, I am unclear as to what the first paragraph under section three is talking about.
The dash twos?
In the dash twos, this is starting at line two through line six, in talking about a determination under the statute to kill a dog or impose other restrictions is subject to judicial review.
Representative Krupp, are you referring to dash ones or dash twos?
Representative Krupp, Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp is in the hand engrossed.
I have the dash ones and the hand engrossed version, both have that in there. Is that not still in the dash twos? Am I missing something here? I apologize if I am. It wouldn't be the first time. Probably not the last. Yes.
I believe that change comes from the dash one and is on page 1A of the hand engrosser.
Yes.
Section 3.
Judge, could you give me the long and the short of what that really means and what it's designed to do?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, my read on that is that that is a provision that's talking about a dog board taking action, either ordering, euthanizing, or imposing restrictions on the dog, and it affords the owner the opportunity to seek judicial review of the decision made by the county dog board before the dog could be killed.
Okay, with that, is there any other discussion? Representative Beyer, are you satisfied with line four on the dash twos that basically says the dog that's in any part of the vehicle is not running at large?
Yes.
Is there any other concerns if we adopt the dash two, Representative Thompson?
I'd like to adopt the dash two amendments into House Bill 2425.
We have a motion to adopt the dash two amendments. Do we have anyone opposed? Representative Hobson, discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure on the dash twos, have we left in C or have we deleted C, about which the judge had some concerns? On page two, the one that says a dog that is within any part of a vehicle.
Mr. Chair, members, the amendment was to adopt dash two as it's written, which includes that line about a dog in the back of a pickup is not running at large. A dog in any part of a vehicle is not running at large. That's the motion on the floor.
We delete the lines 15 and 16. The room is securely confined in that prevents a dog from biting a person. And we insert a dog that's within any part of it. Then would they not consider to be running as much? Anyone opposed? Dash twos are adopted.
Mr. Chair.
You like to say anything more, Judge? Is that it?
Thank you very much for the time you've given this. Appreciate
yeah, we've done a lot of work on this. Harrison?
We still might want to consider moving the bill.
I'd like to move House Bill 2425 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
As amended
with the dash one and two amendments.
Okay. I'd like to call the roll, Samantha. Please. Yes.
Representative Thompson?
Yes.
Representative Rivera?
Yes.
Representative
Byers?
Aye.
Representative
Jeffers?
Yes.
Representative Thompson?
Yes.
Representative Frost? Aye. House Bill 2425 is moved to the floor with a due pass. Representative Thompson, would you like to carry your bill?
Sure. But I'd like to know if we have a longer floor session. I mean, since we've had so much trouble in here, if this becomes as tough as a death with dignity, I want some help from the rest of you guys.
How about sheep bill?
So with that, we'll close the work session on 2425. We thank you, Judge, for the good work on that. This is probably one of our most complicated issues we've dealt with this session, and everyone else has worked on it. So with that...
This is one, I'm going to speak slow, slur my words.
With that, we'll open a work session on House Bill 3506. We have some amendments, or at least I have some, I don't know what everyone has. As you remember, this is Representative Butler's bill dealing with trucks loaded in Malheur County and Idaho, and what we're doing is... We were dealing with tandem axle trucks that normally haul about 34,000 pounds on the two rear axles. And if you received some amendments, it shows the charts that are currently in statute that show 34,000 pounds on those axles. And we've amended those charts for only farm trucks that are hauling agriculture products in Malheur County, and there we have a new amended weight schedules that raise those two rear axles to 37,800. So with that, Representative Butler, do these amendments do what you wanted done?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tom Butler from Ontario, Oregon. We don't have to kill any dogs with this bill. This is a fairly easy piece of legislation at this particular point. I appreciate the support of staff and the Department of Transportation that have come forward to assist us in making sure that we can mirror the issues that are reflected upon the state lines in Malheur County. And I further appreciate the support which we've received from the Farm Bureau and those folks who have called and come forward to testify from Malheur County. And with the dash two amendments to House Bill 3506, this now mirrors the weights of the loads that are field-loaded agricultural products that are presently being carried in Idaho and regularly cross back and forth against Oregon roads that are imperceptibly Oregon roads in the Idaho side as they move agricultural product around. I've had an opportunity to meet with some of the people that are responsible for some of our city roads, and they indicated to me in public or in private meeting with them that publicly they've already been supporting these weights because these weights have been coming in on Idaho trucks for years and some of our Oregon trucks that are field loaded with agricultural products are slightly overweight, and what this does is this gives us an opportunity now to to make these trucks legal both in Oregon and in Idaho as they move back and forth across the two state lines. I think the one thing that I did learn in this process was a whole lot more than just 37,800 pounds, but the fact that we do have a second interstate highway in Niger County, down in the southern end of Niger County where we don't have this issue at all. Highway 95, as it comes up out of Jordan Valley and crosses south of what we call Sucker Creek area, is an interstate highway. And up until the time the Department of Transportation did their very good work on this particular bill, we didn't know that that was an interstate highway. We don't haul any product, fuel-loaded agricultural product on it because it's so far south, but it's been a very good learning experience for me. I think with the Dash 2 amendments, I'm very pleased, and this will be of great assistance to the people in Niagara County as well as the surrounding counties of Idaho, to our onion-producing capital. This is, in fact, the onion-producing capital of the United States. We produce 40% of all of the onions grown in the United States. 90% of the sweet Spanish onions grown in the United States are grown right here in this valley, and they're hauled over these roads, and this will get us to and from market legally.
Thank you, Representative Butler, for that good comments from the Chamber of Commerce.
I just have a quick question.
Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Butler, how do you expect somebody like me to vote on this bill, even though, I mean, because I hate onions?
Moving right along, Representative Urbala, time is up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make a comment that when we go from a one-page, eight-line proposed bill to one this large, we are heading down that slippery slope that our statute books will be as large and as many as California's.
Representative Urbala, some of these, a lot of this is existing language. It has all the old tables. So there's really a lot of surplus language here. We really didn't add that much. Just a new table for farm.
Mr. Chair, does this all change if we change weight mile?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
This has to do with weights that trucks can haul, not the way they pay their taxes. As you see, the Dash 2s replaces, here's a gut of the current bill. So with that, I would entertain a motion. Mr. Johnson back there, say back there, you were part of this. Are you satisfied with this whole issue? Okay.
You want?
Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one quick question, and that is, it does specify Mount Hare County, but what I'm wondering is, trucks that are registered in Idaho will still fall under this, so they can be uploaded.
Idaho law presently mirrors all of this right now, and that's been the problem, Representative Krupp, is that Idaho law has a higher weight limit, and because in many of these areas, a lot of people think that the river is the boundary. The river isn't the boundary. In some places, the fields actually extend between Oregon and Idaho, the fields themselves. And so what happens is this mirrors Idaho's weight limits where they're legal and just makes Niagara County legal to the Idaho limits, relative only to farm-loaded field trucks with agricultural products.
I think the question is, can an Idaho truck come into Oregon with under these weights?
Yes, they can. Yes.
Okay. Where is that in the language?
It's part of the Oregon. It would be part of the Oregon law.
You want to come on up, Mr. Johnson?
The weights are the same, so that's why.
Well, and the bill says it's a field loaded products from Mount Hare County.
Right.
On page 7. So how would it allow an Idaho truck with 37.8 on the back duals come into Oregon?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Steve Johnston from the Oregon Department of Transportation, for the record. On page 5, line 14 states, or 13 and 14 states.
Oh, yeah, without a state farm.
Without a state farm registration. So if it's a farm truck in Idaho, it would be able to. Matter of fact, if it was a farm truck anywhere else who was brought in to operate, if it had that registration, it could also do it.
Okay, Thompson.
I'd like to move the bill. I'd like to move House Bill. Are we going to do the Dash 2 amendments?
Yeah, the Dash 2 amendments.
I'd like to move the Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 3506.
Any discussion on the motion? Anyone opposed? House Bill 3506 has been amended with the dash two.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Thomas.
I'd like to move 3506 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Any discussion of the motion? Matthew, I'd like to call the roll, please. Yes.
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 Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
House Bill 3506 has been adopted and moved to the floor with a due pass. Representative Butler, you'd like to carry your bill?
Thank you very much. I'd be delighted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So that will close the work session on House Bill 3506. Let's open the work session on House Bill 2100. As you remember, House Bill 2100 was the fee bill. We had a hearing on it earlier and heard from everyone. We've held this bill back, waiting to see what they were going to do down in Ways and Means, waiting to see if there's some park money available. They came to me last week and said basically we just need to move this bill to Ways and Means. And they'll deal with it down there. I don't know where the budget is on Fish and Wildlife yet, but as you remember, there was originally about a $10 million hole in Fish and Wildlife's budget. The governor had put about $4 million in administrative money in. That still left about a $6 million hole. I don't know where that, even the status of that $4 million is right now, but who's here from Fish and Wildlife today? You like to, oh, yeah, Jim, come on up. Maybe you can fill us in, kind of your reading of where this is. It's been hard for me to get a handle on this whole issue, where we really are going on this budget. As I understand, we just need to move this bill out so they can do something with it down in Ways and Means. Is that true?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Jim Greer, Director of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. That's my understanding. I don't have any more better readout on the general fund portion of our budget than you might at this stage of the game. We won't be going to Ways and Means until next Monday. And that's probably when we'll first start hearing about what the status of our budget is. So this would essentially be one of those options that we would want to move forward and make sure that was still on their plate.
We have some dash one and dash threes here. Where do these come from? Are these from you, Representative Byer? Would you like to explain what you wanted to do with these?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm frankly trying to find my original bill. I finally found it. So now we can go forward. Yes, Mr. Chairman, I authored both the dash ones and the dash three amendments. The dash one amendment, if you look on page five and or six and seven of the original bill, section seven of the bill is dealing with the sport pack license, which was a license we authored last session, so that a person who does a lot of hunting and fishing can pay one fee and receive all the tags and licenses that are required to do everything you can buy over the counter.
Just a minute. I'm not with you. Which dash are you
looking at? Dash one.
The dash ones deal something on page two and on page seven.
Yes.
Okay. You're going to page seven to start with.
I'm going to page seven. That's where the... On page two, we are talking about inserts, or it's kind of a technical thing, and it offers a $4 agent charge for the issuance of the sport pack license. Currently, the agents get a $1 charge, even though they're issuing multiple tags and licenses. In our original hearing on the bill, we had agent people come in and testify that they would like to see, you know, because they're losing money on the issuance of the sport pack. So we're authorizing them to get a $4 agency for the sport pack license. But then if you go to page 7 of the bill, on page 7, the price of the
sport pack license, which we set 2 years ago at $100, is being increased to $120, and my proposal is to take that back to the $100 figure. So we are not increasing the price of the sport pack license. That license has been very popular, and it was 2 years into existence. I don't think we want to go after those people who are supporting the department and raise the fees on them now.
Okay, let's have discussion then on those two issues, Representative Thompson.
I agree with Representative Beyer on this. I was involved when we put this in place, and we just haven't done it long enough to turn around and start messing with it. It needs time to get implemented.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Thompson. Representative Beyer.
If you would accept the motion, I would move the dash ones, and we could talk about it.
Let's hear from Jim. Mr. Greer here first before we go ahead here.
Well, Mr. Chair, our rationale for increasing it to 120 was going along with the corresponding increases in the tag fees that we had proposed in the entirety of House Bill 2100. So we were trying to keep it essentially equitable so that your fees that were increased were actually being increased in the sports pack as well, and you still had that discount and the overall cost of $100 originally. The discount would apply essentially the same to the $120 fee, based on new fees, if those fees were passed.
Representative Beyer, have you run this by Mr. Harder and the other people?
Mr. Chair, I have talked about it with Mr. Harder and Mr. Rollator from the Department of Fish and Wildlife and anyone else who cared to talk to me about it, actually.
What was their consensus?
I hate to speak for other people, but if you're insisting that I do, Mr. Harder was very insistent that this proposal needs to be in the bill. The Joe Rollator, speaking for the Department of Fish and Wildlife, has indicated that they don't necessarily like it, but they could probably live with it.
I want to give your representation to you.
Come on up, Rod, because we'll get everybody into this.
Right.
I thought we were just going to move this out of here today, but we kind of ended up here with these amendments, so we'll try to deal with them so they don't take too much time. But. Rod, you knew about these amendments, did you?
Mr. Chair, yes, I asked Representative Barr to bring these amendments forward. This was our bill one session ago. It's been very popular with sportsmen. It has only been in effect for 2 years. We would like very much to see the price remain the same. The increase to $4 is for the vendor, the person who is going through the hoops on the other end, and we would support that increase only.
That $4 is for selling she'll charge and collect $4 for each license, tag, or permit.
Mr. Chair, that would, right now, the vendor has to go through a process of issuing additional deer and elk tags on the sport pack license. Previously, he was only getting $1, and we felt that it was because the extra work that he had to go through that we would increase the price to the vendor, or the money that would go to the vendor to allow them to recoup for the extra effort that they were putting into issuing those tags.
I don't see on line 35 where that just is related to the sports pack.
Mr. Chair, if you look at the amendment, the amendment reads, and $4 for each resident annual sportsman's license issued pursuant to ORS 497.132 sub 2. That is the section of law dealing with sport pack.
Oh, after permit. Oh, I see. So we're not changing the dollar and a half figure.
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
See, that's where I made a mistake. I thought we were going to change the dollar and a half that was there before. So we're adding new language and $4 each. Okay. I'm with you now.
Yes, you asked for an amendment. We're in work session, aren't we?
We are in work session.
And you've asked for an amendment. I mean,
well, I asked the chair if he would accept them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're just still trying to work our way through here. So I think the issue then is Mr. Rollator, where are you on this? Totally leaving the $100 at the current $100.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rollator. I'm the assistant to the director of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. We've discussed this issue with Mr. Harder and with Representative Beyer, and I pointed out that under the 2100, there are over $130 worth of licenses in the sports pack, and by keeping it the same price to the public, they get a break or a price break on that package of licenses, and by effect then our fee increase will generate less money than we predicted. However, as an offset to the arguments that I've heard in favor of that, it does make sense to us that that we might look at a lesser price. I suggested $110 instead of $120 as is included in 2100. That met with no favor from the two, from the representative. So I just pointed out that we think that it's less desirable than the 2100 as we proposed it, but if that's the only way we can get 2100 to move, we're willing to accept that amendment.
The problem I have with this whole thing is because we're not addressing all of these fees in here, looking at how we're going to make up the budget, now we're tinkering with this one line before we send it down to Ways and Means. And that, you know, what is the relationship between this figure here and what are they going to do to all these other fees in order to balance the budget? We don't see the whole package, and so I guess to tinker with this one figure without doing the, because we're not going to do anything else on this bill, we're going to send it down and let them, I guess, do the adjustment on the other hunting and license fees. What are we really doing to this bill?
Mr. Chair, I think it's this is a substance committee has the,
right.
We should make the decision on what the fee should be, and without Ways and Means determine how they're going to fund the rest of their budget. But I don't believe it'd be correct for us to send this bill to Ways and Means and ask them to adjust the fees. That's the policy choice, and that's the choice that should be made by this committee. That's why the bill is here.
The problem is, as I understand, Representative Beyer, we don't know how to adjust these fees because we don't know how many dollars we need to raise. We don't know what the general fund backfill, where they're going to have park money. So we haven't really gotten into this because, in a sense, we're not part of the budget process. So it's been real difficult for us as a committee to go in here and either accept or reject. I guess, in a sense, what you're saying, of course, is that if we send the bill down like it is, we're accepting the amendments that the department put in there.
That's correct.
So that's... Now, are they going to change those figures down there in Ways and Means?
Chair Wells, we have no idea what will happen in Ways and Means.
No idea.
No, Mr. Chairman, but as a choice of policy, I believe Ways and Means would have to come back and talk to you as the committee chairman before they can change any of the numbers in this bill in that manner. That is a policy choice.
Okay. I think we've clarified that, and I'm a little clearer then maybe where we're going. We're accepting then the figures. We're accepting the bill as written with the new numbers in it. Then all the other new numbers, we're accepting those numbers.
Well, I've got a -3 also. We haven't discussed it yet.
Okay, that's fine. Let's move ahead on that basis. Is that all right?
Chair, I would like to move to -1 and House Bill 2100.
Okay, any discussion on that? That's an option.
Yes, I'm opposed to that.
You're opposed to that?
I am also opposed.
I would like to see it stay at 125.
120?
120, right.
And of course, if this would go down, then we're not changing the tag commit and those fees for issuing them. But, Samantha, you'd like to call the roll on that, on this issue here, adopting the dash ones. No.
Yes.
No.
Representative
Byer?
Yes.
Representative
Beckwith?
No.
Representative
Huffman?
No.
Representative
Cook? We're doing the dash ones. I'm going to say no. Motion failed. Representative Byer, you'd like to address the dash one?
Mr. Chair, I guess
dash threes.
I will talk about the dash threes, but seeing what just happened to the dash ones, obviously the dash threes won't meet too much favor either. The dash threes would actually reduce the price charged on a fishing license. The rationale I have for that is the fact that there are much lower fishing opportunities in the state now than there were even last year, certainly than it was the year before, or 93, I believe, in the last time the fishing license prices increased. The fishermen in Oregon don't have more opportunity today. They have less opportunity to go fishing. So my thought is that, and I know that in my district, many, many lifelong fishermen have come to me and said that I'm not even going to buy a fishing license again, because not only do they want to charge more for the fishing license, they've cut it down so virtually you can't fish anywhere. If you want to take a fish home and eat it, you got to go to a fish pond someplace where you can buy, or someone will allow, you know, you pay to fish in order to catch a fish and eat it. In my district now, there are no fishing opportunities to speak of left. So my idea is that if there are actually less fishing opportunities, we certainly can't be charging more for the right to fish. And in fact, when we lowered the price of the cougar tag from $50 to $10 2 years ago, the department's revenue on the sale of cougar tags actually increased dramatically. It did not decrease. It went up, I think, at least tenfold. So I believe that maybe you would get more people to actually buy fishing licenses if you went and said, look, we realize that we have less opportunity to fish now in the state, so because of that, the price of our fishing license will be lower now.
Representative Thompson?
I have to agree with Representative Byer. The Department of Fish and Wildlife has let the seal and sea lion problem come to such an extent in coastal bays that it's virtually impossible to fish anything besides crab in those bays. The same thing's true in the rivers. We've lost all the access to all the rivers. All there is a few lakes along the coast. And my problem is that the fishermen are asked to supply the cost for all the other things that the department's asked to do now. It's time that the general fund steps up and starts to support this or the other industries of the work that they're starting to do. They're doing all kinds of jobs now in salmon restoration for the ag industry, the forest industry, and for the good of the people of the state of Oregon. And that's what we have a general fund for, is to go when we do issues for the good of the people of the state of Oregon. Instead, they're in here asking for a fee increase from all the people involved. And so my comment is we should be keeping it at the same level or decreasing it, because we've lost the opportunity of the people that they're asking to do this. And I hate to be in opposition to them on this particular issue, but I think the money should come from the general fund to support the department in adequate amount of the jobs that they're asked to do.
Representative Oberlaw?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In a perfect world, we wouldn't change the fees. However, as we've all learned here, it's not a perfect world. And the department, even though I agree it should get money from the general fund, it's not going to happen. There are too many other competing needs and pressures. So the department has to run with something. And if this may be the only way it has to run, right now it is getting some money from the recovery funds, but they're not sufficient, you're right, but they're not going to be increased out of the general fund.
I guess
let's hear from
Mr. Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not sure where to start first. I guess I would remind the committee that we do not have the control of the marine mammals. But I would definitely agree with Representative Thompson that that was one of our original rationales, was to have the general public participate in the funding of natural resource conservation that our agency is responsible for across the state. Relative to the reduction in fees, what we've seen is a continual slide in the overall participation in fishing. And I would agree that that's in part the change in our regulations to meet the Endangered Species Act, which again is a federal act which we have to respond to relative to any kind of impact or take to those protected species. Relative to what we saw in terms of the turnaround in sales of licenses or cougar, this is, and I think I mentioned this when we had our first discussion on this, this is for the opportunist hunter that's already in the field that's already purchased a license. So they're out there hunting another species. When we reduced that tag fee for the cougar to $10, and they already knew that the population was increasing, there was a higher percent chance of encountering a cougar, and we had dramatic increase in those sales. When you look at the sales of angling licenses, though, what we're trying to do is provide an incentive or more opportunity for anglers to participate. And at this stage of the game, where we're being imposed by federal requirements to actually reduce our opportunity, we won't see, I can't even predict an increase in license sales to the level that we would have to make up the $2.75 reduction of this particular proposal, which would probably amount to the tune of approximately $1 million a year. We would have to increase our sales probably by 20% to 25%, where history has shown that over the last several years, our sales have dropped from 10% to 20%. So it becomes a real numbers game in terms of how we generate that interest and opportunity, not just the interest. I think we can generate the interest, but to actually provide new opportunities to sell licenses at a much higher level to make up the deficit would be extremely difficult. So we'd really be looking at a drop in revenues, I'm sure, over the next several years.
Representative Byron?
Mr. Chair, the department has never tried to lower fees to see. They have a history of raising fees. Every time they raise their fees, their own statements from the first hearing on this bill said they would lose approximately 15% of their sales. The only time they've ever lowered fees, in my knowledge, was the cougar tag last session, and that generated an increase in revenue. I think to just blanketly say that, you know, we're not going to increase sales, I don't agree, because there are many people out there, I think, that who would be willing to say, look, we recognize that, you know, the fish are in trouble, you know, I might only get a fish once this year, but, you know, look, they've made the good faith effort to make it more affordable for me as a family or me as a person. I think they would gain that 10 or 15% back that it would, that this, you know, offset would be. And another point that Director Greer brought up about the Endangered Species Act, and they've lowered fishing opportunities in response to that. In my district, they lowered fishing opportunities before that ever came forward, and their own biologists in meetings, public meetings held in the district, when asked about what else could be done rather than cutting back fishing proposals, they said, well, because of the potential of threatened fishing or threatened fish, we have to do this, but the NIMS offers, you know, waivers. If we want to try something new and innovative, we could do that, and we could try, propose that, and get a waiver from NIMS in order to try something new and innovative. They weren't even willing to do that. To see, they weren't even willing to make the proposal to try something new and try to see if NIMS would give them a waiver. So what they've done, in fact, is just destroyed basically fishing in my district.
Mr. Herter?
Mr. Chair, I don't do fish.
It's a good time not to be doing
this. Mr. Chairman, Joe Rollator again. I ask our economist about this theory of how much of a reduction there is with a fee increase. And he told me that with a 10% fee increase, the reduction is actually about 2%. And back, I don't know where the 15% reduction came from, but I've heard that in several cases, and I asked Chris Carter, Dr. Chris Carter, our economist, who's highly respected in this field, about this, and he told me that if you go back and look at the tables that we handed out, when the fee increased by 10%, about 2% of the people dropped off. But that also meant that we did gain more revenue. If you look at the colored charts that I had it out earlier to go along with the 2100, there were some bar graphs that showed the actual revenue generated from each of these fee increases, and the amount of revenue from every fee increase that we have proposed has increased revenue, except for the 1 year that ocean salmon fishing was shut down concurrent with our fee increase. So there is that it is in fact the case that when a fee increase goes in, less people buy licenses and tags just because of the fee increase, but that we've always factored that in, and therefore our revenues have increased based on our planned drop-off of sales due to the increase of fee. And we've done that with this 2100. We believe that we put enough increase into this to account for the drop-off due to higher fees. And then we've added some enhancements, and we do think there are some ways that we can add more fishing opportunity in the future. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Belong.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is just a question for anybody who can answer it. So how do our fees look compared to neighboring state fees in these fishing licenses?
Can I answer it, Jim? Or do you want to?
Well, I can take a shot at Mr. Chair, Jim Greer again. Our first analysis when this was done was approximately 6 months to a year ago, and we were comparing our license sales to neighboring states, and we found that our resident license fees for both the hunting and fishing were probably in the ballpark average or slightly above average. Our non-resident fees were slightly higher than that. Now, there's been a number of changes just in this last year when other states around us have already met, and we've seen some increases proposed. Some have passed, some have not. So we're still, other state fish and wildlife agencies are essentially in the same ballpark we are, or the same problem we are as well. So our fees have stayed within that mid to slightly above mid-range average.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Fire.
I'd like to move the Dash 3 amendments in the House Bill 2100.
We have a motion to move the Dash 3s, which would lower current angling license, which is $14.25, down to 12.5, and 1 day, which is currently 4.5, it would move it up to 5.
Mr. Chair.
Any more discussion?
I could live with it, the existing, keeping the existing level, but I don't think I could live with lowering it. I think that it would be unjust to do it unless I knew that there was a true commitment from Ways and Means to backfill their budget. I realize what Representative Beyer wants to do, and I sympathize with the situation, but at this point in time, I think it would be unreal. I'd be more than happy to do it, though, if you told me you were going to put a little more money in from Ways and Means. I'd jump at the chance to lower fishing licenses.
Mr. Chair, I remind Representative Thompson, I think he sits in the Natural Resources Committee, Ways and Means, and I don't.
No, unfortunately, I don't. That was one of the decisions that was made by the leadership that I couldn't sit there anymore.
I think with that, where's Representative Krupp? Is he coming back in to vote on this issue? Well, I'll see if he's standing up there.
We never end voting.
Samantha, you'd like to call the roll on adoption of the Dash 3 amendments, which changes the hanging license would be currently 14.25 down to 12.5, and 1 day, 4.5 up to 5.
Chair Wallace?
No.
Representative Thompson?
No.
Fails. With that, I believe we're ready for a motion to move House Bill 2100 down to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Deckard.
I move House Bill 2100 to Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation.
There's no recommendation, I'm sure.
Well, we can do it with a recommendation, I think. Either way, any discussion?
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
I'm going to be a no on this because of the reasons I've already extended, and this upsets me that this budget for Department of Fish and Wildlife is decreased for the last few sessions. I think they need more money to do the job they're doing. My problem is where they're getting the money to do it. If, in fairness, they should be getting their money from the people of the state of Oregon, because it is truly a state problem. Many of the jobs that they're doing aren't related to fishing or hunting anymore, and that money should be gotten from somebody else in this state.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Overlaw.
I agree with what Representative Thompson has said. However, I will vote yes, just because the money has to come from somewhere.
Thank you. Representative Byron.
Mr. Chair, I'll be voting no, and I will be going to Ways and Means and do everything I can to keep this bill from moving forward, because I think that without at least looking at some of the proposals that I have made, if it does get out of the Ways and Means Committee through the House and the Senate, I'll go over there and try to make the same case over there, because I don't believe where the department does need, we do need to fund the department. I agree with Representative Thompson that the hunters and fishermen of the state have been carrying this load for a long time, and there's many other issues. And I believe the department has not addressed the concerns raised when they made the proposals, at least not in my district they didn't. And I was at those meetings, and when they weren't willing to look outside the box for new ways to do it, they could have kept their fishing, you know, license sales up and made the people happy and they had, you know, got more money by doing that. They weren't willing to do that. So I can't support doing this right now.
Mr. Chair.
Just may I ask a question? Mr. Greer, what would happen if this bill were to fail here?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think my understanding is if it failed here, we don't have a license fee increase proposal for Ways and Means. Is that your understanding, Joe?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Thompson.
I'd like to respond to Judy's comment. Representative Herbalow's comment. I can agree with what you're saying, but when you start taxing people that aren't receiving the benefit, we just as well have the Department of Fish and Wildlife send out a tax on women's lipstick, because the people that are paying the money are not the people that are receiving the benefit. So why should this money be tacked on to fishermen any more than it should be tacked on to a woman's lipstick? And that's the problem. And so...
May I respond? Actually, we all pay for things that we don't directly benefit from. That's the nature of living in the kind of under the kind of government we do. And I agree with you, Representative Thompson. I would support general fund, but I do have to live with reality. And I think Fish and Wildlife does do a good job, not a perfect job, but a good job, and you need funds to do that job.
I think we need to support this bill. I think even with, as I understand, how many dollars would this fee increase bring in of the $10 million hole that you have worked all across the state to deal with this issue all during the interim and have come here? Is this to raise $6 million? Is that what this would do?
It's probably closer to $7 million, Mr. Chair.
So this would raise $7 million, and we're still leaving a hole in their budget of another $3 or $4 million. That's going to have to come from somewhere. So I think it's a fair proposal, and it's they're raising part of the money for the increase in fees, and then there's still going to have to be some general fund money.
Mr. Chair, could we take 1 second first? I'd like to have since the Democrats, could we meet for a second?
Yeah, let's stand aside just for a minute.
Talking.
Why? I just think.